Praise the Lord. Jesus is with us every day, all day long. 2 Kings chapter number 5 in our Bibles tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 5. I hope you're excited about Jesus. I hope you're excited about someday being with Jesus for all eternity. I hope you're excited about your Christian life. You know, the devil will do everything he can to get us discouraged, to get our eyes on our circumstances, to get our eyes on our own weaknesses, and we don't want to go there, all right? We want to be used of the Lord. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I hope you read your Bible every day this week. You see, Pastor, I've been busy. That's all right. Just read a verse then. You know the shortest verse in the Bible? We learned it in Sunday school. Jesus wept. Now don't tell me you don't have time to read Jesus wept. We all got time to read. You meditate on the fact that Jesus wept and ask yourself, when's the last time you wept? When's the last time you wept over something spiritual? Now, we weep over things that, you know, we lost some money or the car broke down or something like that. And we need to weep over things that are eternal and cry over the lost. In any event, that's the first message. Now I'm going to give you the second message. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Now last week we looked at the story of Naaman and the little maid. You remember that? And Naaman had leprosy, and the little maid, a Jewish maid there, said, hey, if you'll get to Elisha, Elisha will help you. And we said a number of things. We said everyone has spiritual needs. And we also looked at the fact that anybody can be God's agent to help somebody. Anybody, a little maid, we don't even know what her name was. Maybe we'll meet her in heaven and say, oh, you're the little maid. And everyone, you know, we have a little picture of what the little maid might look like. How many of you have a picture in your mind of what this little maid might look like? All right? These are the imaginative ones. All right? They have an imagination, and that's good. How many of you have an idea of what her name could have been? Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I don't either. It could have been anything. You know what I'm saying? If the little maid was a boy, I'm sure it would have been Daniel. I'm sure it would have been. Maybe her name was Danielle. Huh? It could have been Danielle. How about that? But this little maid is used of the Lord to get Naaman, to get to Elisha, and to get healed. And we know that God is the one that does the healing, that God heals Naaman, and Naaman is cured. Now, we're going to pick the story up right there. All right, so I want you to look with me at verse number 20 of 2 Kings chapter number 5. All right, verse number 20. The Bible says this, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now, you remember when Naaman was healed, Naaman, a wealthy, powerful man, wanted to give Elisha some stuff for doing the healing. And Elisha wanted God to get the glory, and he didn't take anything. But his servant now is thinking, hey, Elisha did the wrong thing. And he says, hey, I'm going to run after him. So verse 21, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy thereof, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. I want to preach to you a message tonight that I have simply called a selfish heart. A selfish heart. Lord, we ask that you would open up this story to us. We pray, Lord, that you would examine us. Lord, we ask that you would help us. Lord, by nature, we have a tendency to be selfish. We have a tendency to want what we want. And Lord, I pray that you would use this story to help us to see areas in our lives where we could be self-centered. Lord, I pray that you would help us to allow you to give us the victory. Lord, would you be glorified in what's said and done now. In Jesus' name, amen. What does a selfish heart look like? You know, we see selfishness in a heart of a child. Any of you ladies work in the nursery? And you work in the nursery, and right from the beginning, you see one child as a toy, and the other child wants the toy, and you see selfishness at its finest right from the nursery. And sometimes when we graduate from the nursery and we get in elementary school, you can see it. You know, sometimes selfishness can go with us all the way till we get to become a wingle. There you go, all the way to the end, till you get to become. When I look at this story and I look at Gehazi, I think, what a man with a selfish heart. And I see very quickly, you know, selfishness can be a challenge for all of us. And I want us to look at some characteristics of a selfish heart and ask the Lord to free us from selfishness. Number one, I want us to see this. A selfish heart lacks appreciation. A selfish heart lacks appreciation. Look at verse number 20. Look at what the Bible tells us about this fella, the servant of Elisha. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God. Gehazi had an opportunity to be the servant of Elisha, whom the Bible tells us was the man of God. Gehazi thinks, hey, Elisha didn't do the right thing. And he thinks, hey, because he didn't take anything, I think we should get something. And Gehazi decides to go against what Elisha wanted. He decides to go, and he decides to go and get some goods for himself. As we look at this story, I want to just think for a minute concerning the advantages that Gehazi had in working for Elisha. Think, we've been through a number of illustrations. We've seen a number of illustrations of the power of God on Elisha's life. Really, what we're looking at is the miracles that Elisha did, that God allowed Elisha to do, the power of God on Elisha. And we think about Gehazi. Imagine being the servant of Elisha. Imagine hearing Elisha train as he trained those in the schools of the prophets. Imagine listening as he taught. Imagine watching Elisha work and perform miracles with the power of God on his life. We would think that Gehazi, his servant, would recognize that there's a reason why Elisha didn't take anything, but he had a selfish heart. He had the opportunity to learn. By the way, we see his selfishness in the past story with the one that gave the contribution, and Gehazi had some issues with that. We see a man that had the opportunity to learn and to grow and to have privileges, but he didn't do it. I think as I look at this story, I think concerning someone else in the Bible that had a lot of opportunity. He had a lot of opportunity to hear Jesus preach. He had opportunities to listen to Jesus deal with problems as he interacted with people. He had opportunities to see Jesus to heal the sick when those came. He had opportunities to see Jesus to get someone that couldn't walk and he could walk again. He had opportunities to see Jesus raise the dead. And you know who I'm talking about. His name was Judas. He had every opportunity. He had opportunity for him to have trusted Christ himself. But he didn't take advantage of the opportunities that he had. I think concerning a young man that we find in the Gospel of Luke, a young man whose father had some money, a young man that grew up probably under some pretty good conditions, but he went to his father one day and he said, hey, give me my portion. He felt like he was missing out. He felt like he was missing out on something that the world could offer. By the way, the world has nothing to offer us, nothing at all. Take the world, the songwriter said, but give me Jesus. Jesus is the one that satisfies the soul. And this young man went to his father and he said, give me what I have. And we find him where? We find him in a pig pen, not taking advantage of the opportunities that he had at home. Thankfully, he came to his senses. And he went back to his father, and he was restored. When I look at Gehazi, we look at a guy that had the opportunity to walk side by side with the man who had God's blessing, the man who had God's power on his life. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He had many quotes. So this one sticks with me. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. When gratitude. Do you know sometimes here in America we've had a lot of good. We've had the opportunity to experience lower gas prices and to experience an economy that was doing well and to experience the freedom to give the gospel and the witness. Things are kind of changing a little and we don't know where the change is going to end. But you know what? We need to be appreciative for the goodness of God in our lives and the goodness of God on our land. Some of you young people have the privilege to grow up in a Christian home. Your mom is saved. Your dad's saved. They're not perfect by any means, but they're saved and they love you and they bring you to a church and they try to get you to read your Bible and they try to get you to understand truth, not because they don't care, but because they do care. And sometimes people can be unappreciative. We can lack appreciation in our lives. I remember years ago when my mom was sick, she was in the hospital. My wife and I went there to see her. Really, we didn't know it, but it would be for the last time that we would be able to talk to her. And she was coherent, and it was just the two of us there. And I remember the Lord impressed something on my heart, and I'm so happy that I did. I stood there by the side of her bed, and I said this, Mom, I want to thank you for all that you did for me. My mom led me to Jesus Christ. My mom encouraged me to go to Bible college. My mom and dad were both saved, and they had family devotions, and they tried to do what they could to help us to understand truth. And I was able to thank the Lord before she died in a very nice environment. I was able to say to her, thank you, Mom. I appreciate all that you've done. I said, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you. You know what? We might not think, hey, I'm not me. I'm not selfish at all. Are you appreciative? Today I made sure I thanked my wife for lunch. You know why? Because I knew I was preaching on being appreciative. Question, did you thank your wife for lunch today? You see, our wives work hard, and they go grocery shopping, and sometimes they don't get what you want. You know, instead of whole milk, they bring back 2%. And you know what? That's because there is no whole milk. And we need to be thankful that we have 2%, that we have something. And you know what? We have a tendency here, living in rich America, we have a tendency to be self-centered. Gehazi's problem didn't just start. This was the culmination of a heart that was self-centered. And when we recognize self-centeredness, when we recognize it, self-centeredness begins when we become unthankful, when we become ungrateful, when we start to take things for granted. Number two, I want us to see as we look at this, a selfish heart not only lacks appreciation, he had the opportunity to work side by side with Elisha, but secondly, a selfish heart lacks respect. Verse 20, he says, behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian. There's a little term of disdain for Naaman, calling him a Syrian, in not receiving in his hands that which he brought. Elisha doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't take what he should have taken. But as the Lord liveth, I'm going to run after and I'm going to take somewhat of him. So he follows after Naaman. Naaman sees him running. And in verse number 22, he tells a lie. And we'll get to the lie in just a little bit. But he says to him, hey, my master sent me. Gehazi did not respect Elisha? Was it true that Elisha sent him? It wasn't true at all that Elisha sent him. He didn't respect Elisha. He didn't respect Naaman. And quite frankly, he didn't respect the Lord. Obviously, Elisha was obeying what God had told him to do. Obviously, Elisha had a reason. Why was his reason? He wanted Naaman to recognize that what he did for him didn't cost anything. By the way, it's a great story, really, when you look at the story of Naaman, of doing things God's way. Naaman was only going to be healed by doing things the way God had laid it out. You know, salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By the way, thank the Lord for a young lady that came and got assurance of salvation this morning. Praise the Lord. And we said already, Brother Tommy's friend there got saved. That's exciting. It ought to excite us. It excites heaven. You know, there's rejoicing in the angels when one person trusts Christ as Savior, and it ought to rejoice our hearts. It ought to thrill our hearts. And we ought to say, Lord, would you give us another one? Wouldn't it be cool if Tommy's friend would have been the last one and the trumpet sounded, huh? Right there. Y'all, some of y'all wouldn't have made it to church this morning. I would have been raptured right from that couch. Poof! Someday it's going to happen. Some last soul is going to trust Christ and we're going to be out of here. Praise the Lord. How did I get on that? I don't know. But Gehazi did not respect the people that God put in his life to help him. You know, we ought to be concerned about God's name. We ought to be concerned about God's reputation. Naaman didn't care nothing about God's name. He made God look bad. He wasn't concerned about the glory of God. He wasn't concerned about Elisha. He was only concerned about himself. You know, the Bible tells us whether we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, we're to do all to the glory of God. We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and do what? Glorify our Father which is in heaven. We ought to be concerned about the name of Jesus Christ. Imagine showing up when the Philistines were fighting against the Israelites and Goliath came out and Goliath said, "Choose you a man that'll fight for me." Do you know what Goliath did for 30 days? Goliath mocked Jehovah God. He mocked the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and God's people, including Saul, were hunkered down, afraid. They made God look bad. David comes to the scene, and David looks around, and David says, "What? Is there not a cause?" David says, "Hey, they're mocking my God. They're mocking the God that gave me power to and delivered me from the lion and from the bear. My God is able to deliver." And that's what he went and that's what he told the giant. He said, "God's able to deliver and God's going to deliver." God gave him convincement concerning what he was going to do. Hey, we need to have respect for the God that we serve. We need to, by the way, have respect for the people that God puts in our lives to help us. Let me show you an interesting verse in Romans chapter number 1. Would you turn there? Romans chapter number 1, and I want to show you a verse. We see this playing out in our society today. Romans 1 and verse number 27, the Bible says this, and we see this playing out in our society today, and we say, "Oh, this is terrible," and it is terrible, but I want to show you where it started. In Romans 1 and verse 27, the Bible says this, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet." We see men, that's wickedness. And what do we see? We see homosexuality. We see people that are doing things that are non-natural. Do you know where that started? They're down here. Those people that we just read about are way down here on the list. But you know what? Where did it start? Where did that process start? It started over here with step one. Do you know what step one is? I want you to look at verse number 21. Verse number 21 of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says this, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." Let's read the next three words together. neither were thankful. Wow. Ungratefulness. Wow. Not understanding and submitting to, actually they probably did understand, they knew God, but they glorified him not as God. They didn't respect and submit to the God of the universe. We could say it this way, they made themselves their own gods and decided to do what they wanted to do. Boy, we look at that and we say, help us, Lord. Help us to be grateful. Help us, Lord, to respect you and submit to you. But for the grace of God, we are where we are. Any one of us could be where Romans 1:27 is, but for the grace of God. And as we submit to him and respect him, he works in our life. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Well, what a great God we serve. Let's go back to our text in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want you to see, thirdly, a selfish heart lacks character. Now, I've already kind of alluded to this already, but 2 Kings chapter 5, a selfish heart lacks character. Look at the lies this here guy tells, all right? Verse 22, my master have sent me saying, all right? So number one, the master sent me. Behold, even now there come to me from Mount Ephraim. Mount Ephraim was close to where the sons of the prophets were, the school of the prophets. Two young men of the sons of the prophets. Okay, this makes sense. You've got two guys that came from the sons of the prophets, and they need some clothes. They have a need. So there's a couple lies there. If you skip down to verse 23, to verse 25. When he comes to Elisha, he says, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. I didn't go anywhere. You got three or four lies he's told right here in this story. Why does he do that? He does that to cover up for his sin. He does that to cover up for his behavior, saying that Elisha changed his mind. By the way, he kind of stops at this here tower here a little bit. He's got some guys to help him take this stuff. And then he takes it to his home so that he can hide it in his home and no one else in the city can see it. And then he comes back and he stands before Elisha and he lies to him. Character. You think concerning this, sin always seeks to kind of hide. You know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we need to recognize, hey, character is really, really important. It's important that we recognize that we need to be disciplined, that we need to do what's right, that we need to tell the truth. You know, it's interesting, when you tell one lie, you got to tell a whole bunch of more lies. And you find yourself forgetting the lies that you told in the beginning, and you're like, oh, I can't remember the lie that I told in the beginning. We played a game here the other day where they gave you a definition or word, whatever, and you had to kind of make up the truth. There was a true answer, but you had to make up the truth and get everybody else, or hope that everyone else that was playing against you would pick your answer that wasn't true. You like that game? Yeah, you know, they give you a word. They really give you a definition. So we just say, you know, whatever. I can't think of anything off my head. Give you a definition. And then there's a word in the choices that's the right word that for that definition. And then you got four or five others. So you got five words, and you got to pick which word really describes this definition. And so there's one that's truth, and five, four or five, however many people are playing, that are lies. And if you can put something in there that sounds really good and get other people to choose your word, then you get points. I think I was a good liar because I won the game. But you have to get people to pick your lies. In any event, when you tell a lie, you forget. I think concerning what we read in Acts chapter 5. You know what happens in Acts chapter 5? In Acts chapter 4, the church gets together and they say, hey, we're all going to sell some stuff and we're all going to meet one another's needs and we're all going to help one another. And so they have a service, probably maybe the Sunday night service. And Peter's down there, and people are coming, and they're saying, here, Peter, here's for the needs of the brethren. Here's for the needs of the sistren, the sisters, or whoever. Here's for the needs. Here's for the needs of whatever. And they're bringing the needs. And Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias comes in first. Ananias says, here's for the needs of the local church. And Peter looks at him and he says, hey, why are you lying to God? You're lying to the Holy Spirit of God. And boom, God kills him. I tell you why I think God kills him. God doesn't mess around with his church. And by the way, after the story, you'll see that the church moves forward in power. God deals with sin in his church. And then what happens? Sapphira comes in. You say, where was Sapphira? I don't know, but I have an imagination. She was probably at Boscov's. I mean, she had a little portion of that money. And you go into Boscov's, and the men's clothes, and any of your men at Boscov's, you got to take the elevator up 16 floors, and in the far right corner, there might be a couple ties for you. Really not 16, but you know, the men's departments are, you go in any door, and there's all ladies stuff, just about in any door. You know, they're appealing to ladies. So Sapphira's out shopping. Maybe she comes in later, and same thing happens. And God deals with her lying. We think about this. I wonder, with all the Gehazi I saw, how did he think he was going to get away with this? Which takes us to our fourth point. And I want us to see, not only does a selfish heart lack appreciation, respect, and character, but a selfish heart lacks foresight. They don't see down the road. In verse 26, Elisha deals with him. Where you come from? He said, oh, I didn't go anywhere. Verse 26, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, olive yards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men serve? It's not a time for this. And then look at what he says in verse 27. The leprosy thereof of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. That aspect of as white as snow, basically he went out the worst leper. He had the worst case of leprosy possible. And his sin didn't just affect him. What's he going to do with the silver and the garments now? Nothing. I mean, now it's useless. He had his health, and now he doesn't have his health. He had a position, a wonderful position, with Elisha, the man of God, and now he doesn't have that position anymore. He was probably in some people's minds respected because he was the man that worked side by side with Elisha, and his reputation now was trash. People knew what in the world he did. Think about the relationship that he would have with his friends. His friend, hey, how you doing? Unclean, unclean, unclean. Think about the effect that this would have on his family, as this leprosy would not just affect him, but affect them as well. We fail to realize, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32, verse 23. Galatians 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You ever wonder what Adam and Eve were thinking? Hey, look at all this fruit. It's nice. Oh, look at this tree. Yeah, we're not allowed to eat of this tree. Yeah, but it looks good. Man, this little snake here said we should try it. I'm going to try it. They take a bite. Adam, try this. The best fruit you ever have. He takes a bite. And then God shows up and they're hiding from God. Thinking, what were they thinking? That God wasn't going to see it? That God wasn't going to know it? We think about this. Think about, you know, circle the city, circle Jericho, and the walls are going to come down, and don't take anything. Don't take anything at all. And old Achan, he goes in there, man, and, wow, look at this. No one's going to know. No one's going to find out. And he takes a few things and puts it in his thing, takes it home, and he says, hey, I'm going to bury this in my little tent. There were thousands of Israelites. No one will see it. No one will know. And what happens? Israel goes out, fight a little battle, and they lose. Joshua's crying out to the Lord, Lord, God says, get up. Israel sinned against me. And God leads him right to Achan. By the way, Achan's sin didn't just affect Achan. It affected Achan's family as well. We think about that. Gehazi here, we look at this thing, what was he thinking? His heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Old selfishness there kind of took over his heart, and he couldn't really see straight or think straight. He lacked foresight. He lacked living in light of the consequences of the choice that he would make. Now let's just think about this real quick, and we'll spend some time in prayer here. Have a hymn. I'm not going to ask you this question. Are you selfish? None of us are selfish. Well, that'd be awful for me to say that I'm selfish, but I can tell you some people that are. Can I ask you this question? Do you lack appreciation? Do you find yourself sometimes not being appreciative as you should? Somebody does something for you. Your husband goes out and works hard, complain that he's home late or whatever. Do we lack respect? We lack respect for those people that God has put in our life that try to help us along life's road. Young people, God's given you parents that aren't perfect, but they love you, and you ought to respect them. Sometimes parents think, some of the kids just do just like Gehazi did. Oh, my mom and dad, they're old-fashioned. They don't know what they're doing. And that's basically what Gehazi said. Elisha didn't know what he was doing. Hey, what about living in light of respect? The Bible says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do we live in light of the fact that the God of heaven, nobody else might see us, but the God of heaven, He sees us crystal clear. What about character issues in our life? Sometimes even Christian people can kind of massage the truth just a little bit. And by the way, character is more than just telling the truth. You don't ever tell your kids if you're at home, someone's so called, tell them I'm not here. Don't tell them that. You're standing right there. What do you mean you're not there? They see you. You tell me you're telling them to lie. What are you, invisible? Who are you going to turn? No. We've got to learn to be open and to be honest and to be people of character. You know what? We sometimes have to just say it how it is and let the chips fall where they may. We need to speak the truth in love. I remember my brother years ago, he still works at the same place, by the way, but they asked him to kind of fudge something on a report. And he said, look, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do that. It is what it is. He thought he was going to lose his job. He still has his job, still working at the same, praise the Lord. In some places, though, someone might have lost a job. But character is important. And then what about thinking down the road? Do we ever think about how is this decision going to affect me and my wife and my children down the road? See, we have a tendency to live in the here and now and not think about the ramifications of the choices that we make. And boy, I'll tell you, I think if Gehazi could have changed his mind, if he could have gone back in time a little bit, I think a little bit of stuff wouldn't have mattered. Because now he's got the stuff, but he's got leprosy. And the stuff is going to do no good for him. May God help us to examine our own hearts. Does this have to be my way or the highway? That's a sign of a self-centered heart. May God help us may we allow God to rid us of self. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for this story and your word. Lord, my thought goes to what the Apostle Paul said when he said, I die daily. Lord, I pray that you would help us to die daily, to die to ourself, and allow the life of Christ to live through us. Lord, I pray you would work now as we take a few minutes and just allow you, Spirit of God, to speak to us. Would you be glorified? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, here's a Christian, you see, the Word of God was preached and God spoke to me. Pastor, pray for me. Can I see your hand across the altar tonight? Pastor, pray for me. God's working in my heart. Amen.